I'm not looking to bank all my hope on this side of eternity. My hope is beyond here. I'm interested in making heaven my home. I would like for us to turn over into Galatians, 5th chapter. I want to think this morning a little bit about walking in the Spirit. I find that to be a challenging thing as we go through life because we're tied, connected, perhaps I should say, so closely to everything that's concrete and that we can see, and with life. A little bit yesterday afternoon, I went over to see Misha and Anthony, their place, and got a building project going on, and all these components start going together. First, when these wood products were set out there, there were a pile, disorganized. Well, maybe organized, you know, it was all in a pile, but not organized in the form of a wall. All the components was there, but it's been taking some effort. You don't just say, you know, stand up now, sit over here. You have to physically go out and choose the board and put it in the place. You have to measure. You have to use the right fasteners together. If you use a 2-inch nail where there should be a 3.5, it's not going to work. Some places you need a screw to hold something a little tighter and a little harder. There's all kinds of, and you need glue in the right place. There's a whole lot of components is what I'm saying. And it's not something that you do just haphazardly. I watched some of this project going on, and there were drawings that happened. There was plans. This is how we want this to, and every one of those components is very important. I saw he had at one point he had a box of a glue that you would apply to the decking as you hold it. I'm sorry, I'm getting too technical, but I thought that box of glue, when it got cold, it was sitting over in the house where it wouldn't get frozen, and you took care of it because it was going to be needed, and it needed to work right. All these components, you see. And just getting started, there's a lot that will go into a building project. And there's a lot that goes into our lives. All the material that the Lord gave us and has provided for us, it's every component is very important. Sometimes in the process, I want to relate it again a little bit to building of the structure. I noticed how when the first digging of the footing and all that, you think, well, you know, that, well, I had envisioned, is there something more grand than this? You know, so surely that, but you start building and putting the components in there, and the thing has a way of growing in perspective now. It's, you put the walls in there, and you look at the size of the rooms now, and you start thinking, well, it's not as small as what I thought it was. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever experienced that? I saw James nod his head a little bit there. He's been in a building project for a while, and he can stand up and testify to us today. There's a whole lot of components that go into it. A lot of effort, too. A lot of intentional effort. A lot of forethought. Well, I'm going to tell you, our Lord has forethought for our lives. And I'm just going to confess to you this morning that I haven't understood all the forethought or all the purpose, perhaps I should say like that, the purpose of what the Lord has intended for some of what our family's been going through just recently. But I will tell you this. I mean to go on. and I mean to go through. And I want to gain, what God wants me to gain through this, because I think it's, everything is important for us in life. And I don't want to walk so close to the things of the world that seem to grasp my attention, that seem to demand my attention. I don't want to walk so close to that that I lose sight of walking in the Spirit. I believe that the Lord has something for every one of us in our spirit, in our soul. So I would like to read perhaps some of this morning. And in the 5th chapter of Galatians, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." Let me see if I can get my phone to open back up here. There we go. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." There was especially a sense in the early church. They'd come from their Jewish standards, their Jewish, what they were used to doing, the standard of their worship or their mode of worship. They were used to doing all that, and then there were some that began to realize the call of Christ that was beyond just the obedience to the old law. And then there was a sense that there were some that would come and say, "But no, you, even if you're a Gentile and you've come in and you've experienced the freedom that there is in Christ, there is still you need to go back and do the works of the law." And there was a strong assertion that Paul and the first generation disciples, they said, "No, it's not the law that purifies. It's not that the law was bad." They didn't say it was bad. But they said the law pointed toward Christ. The law pointed toward Jesus. And Jesus has come to fulfill the law, not set it aside, but to make it bloom full in its full aroma in our lives in this time. He came to fulfill and to walk in our hearts in a more personal way that perhaps they weren't able to experience in the old law system by just doing the works of the law. You see, the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. And in that dwelling, in that living among us, in that acting out His life, doing what we would expect the Word to do, that Word was made flesh and walked in shoe leather like you and I do, dealt with the difficulties of life like you and I do, dealt with the rejection, misuse of people around Him, the accusations that people would give. And He dealt with all of that. He dealt with temptation probably harder than any of us ever experienced. None of us, I don't think, you may have fasted 40 days, I hope. I haven't. But those who have, but Jesus had fasted 40 days, and after he was hungry, and the devil came at what I would consider one of the weakest, most vulnerable places that humans can experience. And the devil came and said, "Yeah, I say you're hungry. You're really hungry. And I've got an answer right here. Why don't you just make these stones? Since you claim you're the Son of God, so you don't have to go bake it. It's right here. Just tell that stone." I believe the devil knew Jesus could do that. And Jesus knew He could do that. He could turn all those stones into bread. Didn't have to have somebody bake it. He could have done it. Because that was a Word of God that caused everything to happen. The same Word of God could easily taken a stone and said, "Turn it to bread." I believe the devil knew that. But it was something subtle that was being attacked in our Lord. It was the sense of trusting in a carnal answer. instead of one of following the truth, following, giving glory and honor to his Father. And the devil came along and said, you go ahead and turn this into bread. And Jesus said, I'm here for more than this body. Man shall not live, and that includes you and I yet today. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I want to say this carefully, but I also want us to understand that the word that we have written here, and we call it a Bible, and I believe it, and I wouldn't diminish it in our eyes at all. This word is good to live by. In here is the words of life. It's of utmost importance to us. But there is also in the Spirit, when I'm walking with the Lord, have you ever heard the confirmations of this word by the Holy Spirit coming and telling us that this is the way, walk ye in it? Isn't that what the Bible says? That we can hear a word behind us saying this, that's confirmation saying this is the way. And that is a word that we must hear. We should long for, Lord, I want to hear your confirmation in my life. Not just the, and it's wonderful that we can read this word and we can study on it and bring it into our heart. But it means more when the Lord says, this is what that word means. When His Holy Spirit is there. And this is a place that the Word and the Spirit gets blent together. That Holy Spirit will come and testify. Jesus said, He will come and testify of me. He'll come and reveal to you and I that this is the way, walking in it. And we need that, Father, folks. We need to hear the voice of our Father telling us, this is the way. I fear that if we just carry on in life with a sense that, well, this is our pattern, what we've always done throughout history. This is just kind of what, and I don't want to just use this term, but it's been a common term, and it's not wrong to say this is what the saints have always done, because it's good. If we've got good things that we do. But I need to hear the voice of the Lord. And you do too. It doesn't mean as much if it's just a tradition that's been passed down from generation to generation. I need to not only walk in the Word, but I need to walk in the Spirit. I need to hear the voice of the Lord. I need to have the reality of His whisper. And I covet more of that. I seek more of that. Stand fast in this liberty. Stand fast in this place that Christ has brought us. That's something that goes beyond the traditions of men. And though they might be very good, might be every one of them right and good counsel for our soul. All the law was good. It wasn't evil. There was nothing wrong with the law. It was good. It was very good. But lawyers found a way. Men found a way to study it and argue it until they argued God clear out of the middle of the good law that God had given, and they made it legal laws instead of laws that counsel the soul. And it was a letter then that turned to death instead of to liberation of the soul. And today we have an even closer bond that the Lord has given to us. He said, remember when Jesus, when he got ready to go back to his Father, he was talking to his disciples and he said he was going to be going back. But he said, I'm going to leave with you the Comforter. And he will testify of me.
And this comforter, this one that will be real to you. This one that I'm leaving that part of God, this part of God that is His Word and His Spirit is come down and blent now in a very personal way in our life. It's not just a law that is written on tablets of stone, but it's a law that is written on the fleshly tables of our heart. And this liberty now that we have in the Lord, this closeness, wherein Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with that old, don't slide back into that, in that place where we're just looking toward legal laws and trying to bind it in this way. Folks, legal laws have seemed to always have to be updated. Why, I've read some accounts of different old laws that had to do with your horse walking down these streets. And that was, who has horses anymore drawing a carriage down? You know, once in a while, I understand. But some of these old laws that were just very outdated. God's law is not outdated, don't get me wrong. But we humans can argue and create perhaps good boundaries. But in time, those can start looking so outdated. But God's law is living and it's real and it's personal and it works in every generation and it works in every society. His holiness that He calls us to works everywhere. The soul who walks in the Spirit will love walking with Him, will enjoy that communion. And that freedom that we find in Christ, that freedom that's away from just the carnal set of laws, but one that it ushers us past that up closer in a near close walk with the Lord. And don't be entangled with the other yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, again hearkening back to the dictates of the Mosaic law, and Christ shall profit you nothing. If that's what you're looking toward is just obeying Moses' law, then Christ doesn't profit you anything. But there is something that we get in Christ if we will turn and realize that Christ is the fulfillment of the law. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ is become of none effect unto you whosoever of you are justified by the law. So they were being justified by the law. But ye are fallen from grace. If that's what you're going back to, you're going back to the justifying, you fall from grace. The grace that came through Jesus Christ. Don't go back to that. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but the faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Again, probably in this day, I know there's a lot of things can hinder us today, and we can slip back, and God help us in our generation that we don't look back, but we walk daily with our Lord with all of our heart, happily yielding all we know how to Him. But in this day, there were people that were coming there trying to teach them, the Judaizers that were saying, you need to come back to the law. You did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye be, that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, if maybe others will come along and say that, well, Brother Paul's still teaching the old law, and he said, now if I still teach that, Why do I yet suffer persecution? Why are those coming against me? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. I wish those that trouble you'd quit. Turn. I wish they wouldn't be doing that. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Isn't that the basis? And he's going to repeat now. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Isn't that what Jesus said? That's all Jesus said, isn't it? Jesus taught us that the whole law and prophets hangs on love the Lord with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. He's repeating what Jesus said. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Now I want to just observe a little bit. When I look at the disciples and their growth in the Lord, I'm encouraged when I recognize that Jesus didn't reject Peter when he looked away from his Lord that had raised him up out of that water or caused him to first to walk on the water and he began to sink. I'm encouraged to realize that the Lord didn't, though he taught him, he also raised him. He didn't let him drown. This is encouraging to me because in our humanity, Peter is a whole lot like many of us that we face places in life that perhaps we lose focus for a while. And our Heavenly Father is of the character that He is not willing, it's not His desire that any one of us drown, that any one of us perish. It's His desire that we recover from that. This is our Lord. And if today you have in your mind that our Heavenly Father is looking for an opportunity at your first misstep or something, you lost focus, something happened, and if you're thinking that He's just waiting for that opportunity to cut you asunder, I hope you'll learn a different Lord today. Because He loves you. And He loves us. And He does it. He wants that the weak would be made strong. That the feeble knees would become strengthened. That the crippled limbs would be made straight. That we would, though we are not perhaps in the high places right now, that He would cause us to walk, to gain the high places, to gain the places of greater victories. I believe it's the Lord's will to take us from the ground we live in today and help us to gain greater victories, that our faith may be strengthened as we walk. The children of Israel, when they first came out of Egypt, their faith was actually at a very low ebb. They didn't have much of a basis of believing God. They didn't have much of interaction until Moses came and the plagues began to come. They had a vague hope that they could walk away, could escape. But for them to really grasp it and to believe it and to walk out, put their faith in the Lord, it was very low, very small. But the Lord began to start doing things in front of them that would convince them that His power and His love for them was intense and was great. And His ability to bring them through was greater than what they could perceive. And so plague after plague
all this happened, and finally it seemed like their faith began to build and realize that the Lord is working for us. And there came a time, and maybe I should digress just a little bit here real quick. The Passover was coming up in their life. Today, you know, we call it Palm Sunday, don't we? This was the day that so many years ago, the day or the time period, I should say it like that, Jesus came into Jerusalem, and there was such a human expectation that the king was coming. He had done a lot in their community, and they were likely thinking, he's done all these mighty miracles. In fact, look right over here. Here's a man called Lazarus. Man called Lazarus, and we know he was in the grave. So did all those who were the spiritual leaders of the day. And remember, they thought they wanted to kill him again. How do you kill somebody if God's raised him? If they killed him again, I'm sure the Lord could have called him right back. But it caused them to have a conviction in their heart, and so they wanted to get rid of that. And this man, they saw him now that had raised Lazarus from the grave. He was coming into Jerusalem, and their mind, we're going to have a king now, set on the throne of David. He's going to go into the temple, and he's going to sit down. And the kingdom now is here. Well, indeed, the kingdom was nigh. But it was different than what they had in their mind. You see, part of what they did when the Jews began to celebrate the Passover, there was a time when they would gather in and they'd bring in a lamb of year old that was without spot and without blemish, and there had to be an inspection, and there were people who would bring the lambs into the temple sometimes perhaps 6 days or so before. Jesus came into the temple as a lamb. I don't know. I don't want to put too much emphasis on that. He came in there as a king, but also as a lamb presented. And people wanted to praise him, but he came there to die the perfect sacrifice for you and I. And so, in a few days, Wednesday night, in fact, we're going to try to celebrate it. Back then, that was more of a celebratory service because they remembered the deliverance of the Lord. Wednesday night, whenever we also enter into this remembering our Lord, we have a strange mix of great joy and thankfulness. Lord, you've delivered me from the bondage of sin. And also we think of it very tenderly because we think of the great sacrifice that he gave. Because when he hands that blood, it came from him. He had to shed it. But he was a perfect sacrifice. I know I've stepped aside a little bit from what we were talking about. But here, the children of Israel, whenever they were getting ready to come out of the land of Egypt, their faith had been at a low ebb. And the Lord had done many mighty works in front of them that began to encourage their faith. And this last one was what ended up being called the Passover. And it got its name from this time when the children of Israel were instructed to take a lamb. God told them how to do it. Moses told the children of Israel, "This is what, and you put the blood on the doorposts." And the Lord said, "I will pass through the land." And he said, "And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you." Because they did what the Lord asked them to do. And their faith, the Lord saw
The children saw how the Lord had delivered them out of that land of Egypt and brought them across the Red Sea, out different mighty things that the Lord did for them. And the Lord brought them to a place where then He gave them the law. I want to go back here to the 15th verse where Paul was talking to them. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. That can be such a human response that we find, I should say it this way, we encounter a lot of times different things. If we look for it at all, you'll find plenty of reasons to tell me that I need to shape up, and I probably should. I'll probably agree with you. If there's things I don't see, brothers and sisters, please pray for me. I want to make heaven. If there's things that I need, I want to change. But folks, as we look at each other very closely, we'll find places that we could bite and devour. Can I tell us to take heed? Be careful. Let's support one another in prayerful love. Let's encourage one another in the Lord. If I'm faltering, will you come alongside me and tell me, brother, let's step a little closer to the Lord. I'm human, and so are you. And we need each other. But we sure don't need to bite and devour, because that'll hurt. We want each other to make heaven, don't we? In this process of growing in the Lord, walking in the Spirit, Brother Peter had to go through his times of... You look back over his life, there are places that I think all of us would feel like, I'm glad I didn't do that. I'm glad I didn't. I think I'd feel pretty bad if I, right at the time when Jesus needed him the most, if he would have denied ever even knowing him. I said, Lord, help us not to do things like that. And then Peter, at one point, he kind of got caught up in the pressures that are around him, and he quit eating over here with the Gentiles and just stayed over here with the Jews. And Paul came there, and he said, Brother Peter, that's wrong. In front of everybody, he said, Brother Peter, that's not the thing to do. We're one body here. Don't do it. Did you know you're going to grow also in the Lord? I hope we are. All of us will. So when we walk with the Lord, when we walk in the Spirit is not a stagnant one. He's not just sitting here anchored in one spot, but He takes us by the hand and leads us step by step into places of greater dwelling with the Lord. I hope you're sanctified here today. But if you're sanctified, that's not a point of destination, but a land of dwelling. You see the difference? If I can arrive here at this point, I've gotten saved, the Lord has come and forgiven my sins, and now I come back over here and I've got sanctification now right here, and now it's okay. I'm sanctified holy, and I have nothing now. The old man's dead, and I never have to wrestle with him anymore. If you find that, I want to find it too. That the old man is dead completely and you don't have to wrestle with him. My experience is that as I walk in the Spirit, I will still find places that I will be confronted by that part that would tempt and draw me back. And that time is when I need to walk in the Spirit. I need to say, Lord, I don't want to be like that old man. I don't want to go back. I don't want to be like the children of Israel who were longing for the leeks and the garlics back to my old memories and what I used to do. No, I'm yours today, Lord. It's still on the altar. You're coming by and testing and asking now today if my all is on the altar. And I feel a little bit troubled right now. I feel the pressure that I'm in. But yes, Lord, it's still there. I still want to be yours completely. Today, Lord, I want to renew my vows to you. I want to tell you again I love you. I want to tell you again that I'm yours from now on. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to live for you. I want it to be more than just a fanciful thought, but I want to put the actions behind what I've said. I want to walk with you. Walk me in the Spirit. Quickly, Brother Paul, there were people, as he walked with the Lord, you can tell that the Lord changed him as he ripened in the Lord. I think he thought he was walking with the Lord when he was persecuting the church. I don't know how the Lord saw all that. I don't know. Do you know the point that he was what we would call saved? I don't know. Do we have that experience on the road to Damascus? Was that it? May have been. He was converted. He was changed. He called him Lord. But folks, God wants us to reject the old life and walk now in the newness of life in Christ Jesus daily. I think quickly also of other men who found a way of walking with the Lord. And this always intrigues me. Enoch walked with God, folks, and this was before Jesus Christ, before the living Word. It's not that like we experienced him anyway. But I believe Enoch found a place of walking and hearing the Word of God in a very real way. He walked with the Lord, folks, and the Lord took him. That is somebody, it just amazes me, before the law of Moses, before Jesus Christ, there was Enoch who walked with God and knew him. If he can do it, we can do it also. Especially with all that the Lord has made available to you and I. His Word and His Spirit come down to us. Walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. There's this warfare. There's this struggle in my flesh. If I live to the flesh, there is a destruction that comes along with that. But if I walk in the Spirit, the Spirit is against the flesh, and the flesh is against the Spirit. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. You don't give over to your carnal feelings. Don't do those things. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Again, I believe he was talking a bit there about the law of Moses. But if we're led of the Spirit, we're not under a carnal bondage to the things of the old flesh. We're led of the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. I believe that the Lord has a place for every one of us today to experience something other than just the legal wranglings that we can come up with about the law. Even the Bible today. I read recently an old historical writer. Now this one may have been around 250 A.D., and I'm aware that sometimes there's some old writers that perhaps there was a spiritual drift in some of them that was turning more and more to people having carnal authority in the church instead of Christ being preeminent in the church. I understand that. But this man was talking about some others. There was a theological point that was being, that later on became very, became divisive later on. But he simply wrote that acknowledged there were people held something different than what he thought it that Christ meant to teach. And this was a long time ago, folks. And he called them other brethren, see it differently than I do. And he had this idea that we're still brethren. It wasn't that important. We're still walking with the Lord. Now, I'm not telling you that we're supposed to link arms with every sectarian doctrine that's out there. That's not what I'm saying. But there's a place for us to be charitable with each other right here. Be charitable with each other when we meet others around us and encourage each other to walk with the Lord. In the Spirit, I believe, and I look back over my life, and I mentioned some in Sunday school this morning. Some asked if I could go back to my 20-year-old body. I'd like to, as long as I could take my head with me and go back there. Because I like to think that the Lord has taught me some things. Not enough. I'd like for the Lord to teach me a lot more. But there's some things that I would definitely do different. Look back, and I have to tell you that I wish I'd have done some of those things different. But I was walking with the Lord at that time. I was walking with the Lord. If I'd be willing to cut off somebody for something that I know now, and because I've been walking with the Lord and in the Spirit, and I see it now, and now I've got to take what the Lord has revealed to me now, and I'm going to lay it on somebody else that's just started walking with the Lord, I might bite and devour. And the Lord doesn't want that. The Lord wants us to walk in the Spirit and let that person walk in the Spirit and encourage them. And every one of us today, I'm not saying we shouldn't teach good doctrine. Yes, we should. But I want to tell you, the Lord wants us to know Him and to walk with Him and to feel our little hands in His and to hear His voice speak to our hearts and begin to actually commune with Him on a very personal level and walk daily that we may feel His touch. It's so important, walking in the Spirit. It's a real thing. It's not just legally studying the Scripture. And it's good to study the Scripture. I'm not saying don't do that. But let the life of the Spirit come and whisper in our hearts and in our ears. Let it become real within our very soul. Young folks, I don't want to belabor this too much. But I know in my heart, your safeguard for your future is to find this place of walking with the Lord. I can't preach the word strong enough or specific enough to deal with every place you confront in life. But the Lord can. By His Spirit, if you'll listen to His voice, you will feel His counsel and you will feel His convicting power. You will feel His convincing, His answering of questions in your life. You'll feel something real that you can anchor with solid knowing. Here's where the Lord has put His laws in my heart. And I feel clear in my heart. I'm walking with the Lord. And tomorrow when He shows me, there's other scriptures that talks about walking in the light. As He is in the light. I'm not going to cover these scriptures. Way too late. But walk in that light as He is in the light. Do it. Try the Lord. Every one of us, whether we're just young in the Lord or older in the Lord, let's walk in the Spirit and the reality of our Lord. He'll protect us from a lot of dangers, from a lot of things that would destroy us. I'm not saying you're not going to have troubles, because you will. In this life, you're going to have troubles. But He'd deliver us out of them all. He delivered His children of Israel from Egypt, and He'll deliver you and I from the land of sin also. He'll give us another leader. He'll give us another. He is our leader. He is our King. He'll be our Lord. And I'll just be honest with you. There were some times recently when I was praying with all my heart, trying to find some answers and trying to see pain go away when I was watching my son go through. I had some moments that was very difficult. But I had to, even though I didn't see it right then, I had to remember that hitherto hath the Lord led us. That I've seen past times when the Lord has healed. I've seen it, folks. I've seen it too many times. Sister Brenda Wilkins is normally here. That was verified cancer that the Lord healed. Over and over and over again, we could recount some miraculous things the Lord has done. And because I didn't notice it, I couldn't at the moment change anything about the pain my son was going through. And it's a desperate place you feel like you're in. But just because I didn't see it at that moment didn't mean God's not alive. God wants to convince us individually by walking with Him in His Spirit. God wants us to convince us that He is our God. And we can say with great confidence with those before that have said, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know He's real. I want to encourage us today, as we walk with in life, and from little to old, let's learn to walk in the great warmth of the very presence, the essence of the Spirit of God, might walk in the Spirit and let Him lead us day by day, ever closer to Him. Pray for me. I want to serve Him.